Season. Christmas, New Year's, I guess starting back in Thanksgiving, Christmas, the New Year's. I mean, I don't know how many greetings that you have given during this time, but I'm sure it's been quite a bit. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, things of that nature, and probably have given many cards. I don't know if Christmas cards are as popular as they were in the past, but I know our church still does a lot. Every year I still see people giving out Christmas cards back and forth. That's good. It's better than a text, back and forth, or a tweet or something of that nature. So I'm glad to see y'all still engaged, involved in the Christmas season. But we're now here at the new year. Now, thousands. We were up in Tennessee last week with a family retreat to camp and had a good time. But while we were there, they were expecting, on top of all the other visitors into the area, they were expecting 60,000 more on New Year's Eve day. I mean, that's a big increase. It's already crowded. They were very crowded as it was. It's a high tourist area up there, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area at that time of the year. I didn't realize it was such a popular place to be, but it was very crowded. But then have 60,000 more drive in. They actually closed all the roads around Gatlinburg and opened up the whole entire center part of the Gatlinburg. And this is not a large area because they were doing a special event for New Year's. And then, of course, up in New Times Square, all around, many churches do watch night service. Many families probably shot fireworks and had cookouts and things of that nature. And you shouted, Happy New Year. I know the group up there, it snowed, and they were outside having snowball fights during that time. But I began to ponder this thought. How many of you, don't answer me, because maybe some of you did, some of you didn't, but you've said Happy New Year to somebody on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or since then. And you blurted it out, and when it was all said and done, you still had them same old burdens, same old heartaches, same old troubles. There's a thing about trials. There is no mystical hour where trials just go away. Burdens just rolled up and go away. I was thinking back even to the Old Testament time when the nation of Israel was under the sacrificial law system, when they were looking forward to the coming of Christ, and every year they would have a sacrificial lamb and they would roll the sins forward. And I thought about that. What a picture. They'd roll it forward. But you know, the minute that it was done with, they still had those same sins to deal with. It was just a picture. They were still there. Didn't wash them away for good. It was just a picture of looking forward to something that was going to take place. You imagine how many people thought they were going to have a new year and maybe celebrated. And when they got to looking back the last week, they realized they only created more debt because of the party or the fireworks or the barbecue or whatever it was. Maybe they went on a trip or vacation. But, trying to escape reality. The reality is this, dear friend. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is reality. And as I look back upon the year 2017, I heard several times, either through social media or the television waves or the radio broadcast, I heard many different occasions throughout the year, and over the last decade I've heard it. Well, there's several ways to get to heaven. You just got to work it out just the right way. So this morning, I want to make it clear here at Lock Haven Baptist Church that we take a biblical stance on the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says there, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. I'm talking about this new birth. There's not many ways to heaven, dear friend. There's not a different route one person can go or another can go. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. John 14:6, Jesus made it very plain and clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dear friend, there is a necessity, not of a resolution, not of a commitment to a creed or not to a commitment to a denomination, there is a necessity, dear friend, according to this passage that we just read, there's a necessity for a new birth to take place in our individual's life. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, what is being born again? What is that talking about? What is this new birth, dear friend? I tell you this, it's not about baptism. A lot of places, a lot of denominations, a lot of religions put the great emphasis upon water baptism. And that baptism is a way, and you add that baptism to your faith, and you complete your faith with baptism. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, dear friend, we won't find that in Scripture. There'll be no place in the Bible where you can find adding to the new birth through Christ Jesus this thing called baptism. Is baptism important? Yes, it is important. And Jesus Christ was baptized as an example for us. So, with that thought in mind, if Jesus was baptized and if baptism is part of salvation, then Jesus Christ must have got saved. In order to be saved, he must have been a sinner. But not according to Scripture. He was without sin. He knew no sin. This is not baptism, that is the new birth. It's not a reformation of sorts. I'm going to reform my life. Well, you don't need to be reformed. You need to be reborn. You need to be born again. You don't need to be changed on the outward. Because that's what a reformation looks like. It's a change on the outward where you can see a conformity or a change. I'm talking about where the heart man believeth unto righteousness and with the mouth confession is made. We need a new birth from the inside out. We were dead in trespasses and sin. But he quickened us. He made us alive. For by grace are we saved through faith. Not a gift. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. Lest any man can boast. John chapter 3. John chapter 1. If you would flip back over to John chapter 1. And verse 12. God is a God of order. And he's written down in the word of God. And he's kept it, he's preserved it, and he's even told us in the Bible that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not even a jot, not a tittle, nothing of his word will pass away. He says, forever it is settled in heaven. So knowing that God's a God of order, God of preservation, and he's able to keep his word, look what it says in John chapter number 1, verse 12. But as many has received him. Who's it talking about? Jesus. If you know the context, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 2, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there is a man that sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Nowhere does it talk about reformation or baptism or good works. It's talking about belief, faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, he was not that light, talking about John. He was sent to bear witness of that light, talking about Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does some good works, that whosoever was to give money toward the good cause, that whosoever would get baptized, that whosoever would reform their thinking and their mind. No, whosoever believeth on him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. First John chapter 5 and verse number 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Wow. Scripture after scripture after scripture talks about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, being the only way to salvation. Acts says there is another name given unto man whereby we must be saved. So this morning, I know it's kind of shallow in his thought, but if you think eternal life is shallow, dear friend, you are not enjoying your relationship with God. Because with eternal life comes the power to inherit all things that belong to Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So this morning, in the first Sunday of 2018, as you last week shouted out Happy New Year, or celebrated in some way, some form, or some fashion, dear friend, when it was all said and done, the debt was still there. Not just a financial debt, the debt of sin. The New Year didn't wipe it away. It takes the blood of Christ to wipe away the sins of the world. So as we think about this new year and think about things that are going on, we need to be settled and forever certain and ever sure that the Bible is absolute. Not some man's opinion. Doesn't matter how many followers he has or how many likes he gets on Facebook or how many followers he has on Twitter or how big of a television show he might have. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you this. If any man, Paul said, preach another gospel besides that which has been presented to us in the Word of God, let him be accursed. Any man, that's what Paul said. Paul went on and emphasized that even if an angel was to come down, and we know that angels can present themselves, the demons can present themselves as an angel of light. Paul said, let him be accursed. Different here at the church, we need to understand that there is only one way that is going to see people into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is through the salvation offered us by God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. We can't alter, we can't falter, we can't fail. Our faith has to be persistent on the fact that God said it, and that settles it. Her preacher is just simply an easier way. No, there's no easier way. What a price that was paid for eternal life. The very Lamb of God was slain. Sinless Lamb of God. For our sin, so that we might have eternal life. So this morning, I want you to understand something. Yes, it's a new year. But if you're not saved this morning, dear friend, you will spend eternity in hell. You'll spend eternity. Pastor, that's not a very popular term or word anymore. Popularity is not going to keep you out of hell either. Popularity is not going to get you to heaven. He said, I came to my own received me not. But to them gave he power that if they would believe upon the Son of God, they became his children. So this morning, dear friend, I want to emphasize to you this morning, if you're lost without Christ, I would love to see you in heaven when I get there. I know I'm going because I've put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. God Himself lives within me. I'm still a sinner, saved by grace, fall, and I falter, and I sin. And yet, when I turn to Him, my Father hears me, and He forgives me, and He renews my fellowship with Him. This morning, I want to see you in heaven. And the only way I'm ever going to see you in heaven, dear friend, if you're not saved, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith and trust in Christ alone. Well, preacher, I've heard it said. Yeah, but they can never explain away how that old thief on the cross got to heaven without being baptized. You've got to be baptized. And they can never explain that one away. Because today, the words of Jesus, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. It's kind of hard to explain away. It's the old thing here called absolute. You know, the problem is they want us to believe there's errors in the Word of God. If they can get us to believe in there's errors, that's been the devil's ploy since the very beginning. Yea, hath God said. So the very beginning, let's just a little bit of doubt. Just a little bit. The new birth, dear friend, is certain. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Secondly, this morning, dear friend, if you go to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. We'll spend a little time talking about this. I don't even know if this here's what we could even deem a actual sermon. It just actually is more talking points that I want us here at Lock Haven to understand that we have to emphasize Jesus this year. We cannot get away from emphasizing Jesus. Not only can we not get emphasize the new birth in Jesus Christ, but we can't get away from emphasizing that we as God's people should have a new walk. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. I'm in verse 4. Romans 6, 4. I'm sorry. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Listen what it says. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. I can tell you this from experience. Brother Johnson, there is no one more miserable than a child of God that is not living right by God. I'm telling you what, I've been more miserable in a backslidden state than I was when I was lost. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Because I didn't even know I was alienated from God. I didn't even know I needed God. Until I was presented with the fact that I was a sinner and there was a payment for my sin that was required by a righteous God. And I realized, I'm in trouble because I am dead broke as far as being good. There's no good in me. And boy, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the freedom that I received from the bondage of sin in Christ Jesus was amazing. But then as I began to walk through my Christian walk and go through this journey with Christ, and from time to time and season to season, I'd find myself outside the will of God, outside the principles of the Word of God, outside of the walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, I became very miserable as a child of God, knowing that what was the biggest reason? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, and He is not going to be happy. Part of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. He's not going to be happy when we're in sin. And He lets us know that. That's why many times we quench the Spirit of God. Sometimes I liken it like this. And I hope you don't think this is cruel by no means. If you do, I'm sorry. You'll be all right. You'll get past it. Go eat some lunch afterwards and you'll be fine. They have these things they sell, Brother James, at Lowe's and at pet centers and things that it's a wireless dog fence. You can't see it. It's got a little transmitter like here. You put it in the central point of your house, and all the way around your house is an invisible fence. You can't see it. But you put this dog collar on your dog, and when he gets near the fence, it beeps. Beep. Beep. The invisible fence. If he keeps going, it beeps again. Beep, beep. If he gets a little further, it gives him a jolt of energy. And he usually runs back. Now the training part of it is the beep. He hears the beep. Ooh, hey, last time I heard that beep, I got a jolt. And it trains him not to get outside a boundary. But I saw this with my own eyes. My dog, we bought one. We tried to train it. He is a Pyrenees. And I'm going to tell you, if we had a fence that was 25 feet tall and 25 deep in the ground, if we buried the fence that deep, he would dig under it and climb over. He's a wonder. That's just how he is. He would hear the beep. He'd hear another beep. And then it would get him. He'd come back. One day, Brother Jim, one day, he ran the wrong way. And he got outside of the range of the transmitter, and it no longer shocked him. And he was free. Guess what? Until he tried to come back home. Now it's working the opposite way. No beep, just shock. That's just like us Christians, isn't it? We get saved. We're walking with God. We're walking in the Spirit. And we get out there, get a little close, and we hear a beep. Not an audible beep. Maybe a verse of Scripture the Holy Spirit of God brings back to mind. So you're not being right there. Beep. And we don't get the fellowship that we've been enjoying. But you know what we do? Instead of getting back over and we fear the first beep, we hear the second beep. Then we get shocked. Embarrassed. Maybe that would be our shock. Oh man, Brother Bill saw me doing that. And there's that shock. And the shock is we're sorry that we got caught. Because if we're repentant, when we hear the beep, the conviction, the goodness of God brings men to repentance. We get ourselves back over on the narrow path. But this is what happens. We judge ourselves by others. Well, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing okay. And before long, Brother James, we get out here and we hear the beep. We hear the second beep. And we get the shock. But we're used to the shock. And instead of getting right, we run and we get outside the boundary. And the hardest thing to do is to get back in the boundary. Because our old flesh won't let us. Oh, they're going to talk bad about me. They're going to be embarrassed. I'm going to face them. You know, and there's many different reasons that gets us outside the boundary. There's not just one. It's always walking in the flesh. Always walking in the flesh. Listen, go to Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll just read just a little bit about walking in the flesh. May I say this, dear friend? There is things in my life that I am reaping now that I planted before I got saved. It's part of life. I'm reaping it. Before I ever got saved, before I knew it was, you know, wasn't good for the body, for instance, Brother Scott, I used to chew tobacco when I was growing up. My uncle got me chewing tobacco when I was probably about 13 years old. He was a farmer, chewed tobacco, and not to even be cool. I just thought that's what men did. And I was chewing tobacco. I'd go to sleep just far with that stuff in my mouth, drizzling on him like that. Yeah, nasty. Ooh. I just thought it was something you did. That's what they all did, you know, I did it. Brother James, they've had to start pulling some back teeth because of the old molasses and syrup in that old tobacco rotted my teeth out. Reaping before I ever got saved from things that I did. Well, preacher, you can't find no scripture that talks about that and being wrong. I said, but I'll tell you this, is the temple of God, and I have to care for it the best I can. No. And if I tear it down, it's wrong. That's why every now and then I tell y'all something, you be careful with yourself about what you intake. No. I don't care if it's drink, smoke, or what. If it tears down this body, it's the temple of God, and then that makes it wrong within itself. And I'm reaping. Not proud of it, I'll be honest with you. And I'm just challenging you right now. If you're chewing tobacco or smoking or drinking, I'd challenge you to give it over to God and quit. It's not good for your health. My dad died at 44 years old because he drank himself to death. Did. I would challenge you to quit because this is the temple of God. And if you're eating wrong, same thing. I challenge you, check yourself. And I'm going to tell you this, all you skinny folks, there's just as many skinny people dying and being buried day by day as there is fat people. So just because you're walking around here skinny don't mean you ain't got some bad health habits. So quit pointing the finger at folks that's got a little muffin top here and there. Now, that you walk. I was getting to Galatians somehow or another. Oh, I was giving you some examples of getting reaping after the fact. Galatians chapter 5. Listen, verse 16. This here's like a little bitty portion that help us real well. Verse 16, chapter 5 of Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. This isn't deep here, I'm telling you. This should be just, what did Watson say, or Sherlock Holmes, what was they saying? Elementary. I don't know, if you're saved, you know the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. It don't take you long to figure that out. I mean, it's just like elementary. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Listen, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've got to get to the point where this new walk means something different. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe Ephesians 5. Yeah, let's turn over there. Let me show you this. I'd rather you see it. Ephesians chapter 5. verses 1 through 16 is the entirety of the thought, but I won't get into the whole thing there because I want to get one more point before I let you go home. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I mean, just reproval. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret, but all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth walk make manifest in light, wherefore? He has said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. You're going to have to walk with the Lord to get that light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to work on our walk. Let me be honest with you. There's been some times in 2017 that I didn't walk in the light. Walked in anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife. I walked that away. But dear friend, let me tell you something. You walk around the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, you're not going to have those. Not okay, you know, not on top of the other things that we can get involved in that we know that are there, but I'm talking about just simple things of the emotions of the being. Anger is a true emotion. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And we've got to work on the new walk. And the only way to do this is to, you've got to practice the new walk. Sarah, you want to do the giraffe? Oh, not today. No. It's a new walk. I wouldn't ask her to do that. I wouldn't embarrass her, nothing. But when we was at camp, up there, one of the guys on the stage showed us how a giraffe walks. And they did it afterwards when it was just a handful of us. But they had to practice it to get it right. You know how you get the new walk right, Brother Hector? You got to practice it. You got to practice it. You got to feed it. Like the newborn babe desires the Word of God, the sincere Word of God, that we may what, by? Grow. We got to put it into practice. Many times, dear friend, we know what the Bible says, but we refuse to practice it because why? It takes effort. To be honestly, we are lazy. How many of you already done stopped going to the gym after you had bought a year's membership 2 days ago? Everybody makes a New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym. And if you're going to the gym, keep going. I'm okay with it. If you get to where you think you can't go anymore, call me. I'll encourage you to go, but I'm not coming with you. Stay faithful. You pay for it. You got to practice it. The same way those gyms fill up early in the year, and they're expecting it. Man, they make a lot of profit this way. They're looking forward to it. Come March, like a ghost town up in there. That's how many of us are with our walk with Christ. We'll come down to this altar, and we'll make a commitment. We'll turn it over and say, Lord, say, Lord, I need this out of my life. But we don't get up and practice it. We've got to practice the new walk. Third thing, and we're done. Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do forget, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First, we need to be concerned with our new birth. If you're lost this morning, you need Jesus. I wish I could do something else for you, but present Jesus. I can't. He's the best and only answer. Jesus saves. No other way. Secondly, we as Christians need to be involved in practicing and walking in newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So practice your walk. Walks like a duck, it generally is a duck, right? There's certainly ways that Christians should walk. Get in the Word of God, find out what it is. Walk in newness of life. Third thing, and we're done. Quickly. Some of you are afraid to set new goals spiritually because you failed at the old ones last year. What did Paul just say? Forgetting those things. What things? The things I failed at. Not only the things I failed at, the things I excelled at as well. Forgetting those things which are there. Listen, Paul had past goals. We've got to have past goals if we look back and say, man, I messed up in that area and didn't get it through. Don't be afraid to set a new goal. Pressing toward the mark. Don't be afraid. Listen, Paul had past sins. He said, I'm chiefest of sinners. I don't know what you went through this year or what cost you, got you crossways with God, maybe even yesterday, maybe even today. There's something that got you crossways with God, dear friend. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. Forgive yourselves and move on for God. We got to have some new goals, dear friend. Forget those past victories. They're good to think about, but they're not going to get you any further down the road. Matter of fact, too many times they hang us up. We're so caught up on what we did last year, the year before, that we forget that we are to occupy until He comes. And we don't press toward the mark. And we don't keep going. We got to be willing to forget all that may hinder me in the past. And that means whether in your eyes or somebody else's eyes, they were really big mess ups, turn them over to the Lord. Let Him forgive you. And get back up. A righteous man falleth 7 times, yet riseth yet again. Get up and go. Whatever is done, laying there is not going to help you. I just don't have the strength. This week we had 3 kids. This week and last week, 3 kids dropped from our goats. 2 of them did fine, doing great. 1 of them got stuck behind a barrel in the middle of the night, probably on the coldest night of this cold snap. And the mama goat couldn't get her out, couldn't get him out, and he got being weakly and almost just limp, dead, just laying there, lethargic. The inside temperature was really, really low. And you know, that's what kills us, isn't it? It's that internal temperature. You got to get it back up. Where are we born again? On the inward man. Some of us, we've quenched the Spirit of God. And we lay lethargic and we don't ask for help. That little goat just let it, and the mama tried. The other mama goats, they butted her. Get over there and care for her. Nothing doing. Too weak. Kim and the girls got a syringe, and I got some jump start. It's a little tube of something. Rub it in the mouth. Minerals, live microbes, and all that kind of stuff. Got it in there. Live. Some of you are hung up on dead stuff. You need some live stuff in you. You need some milk. And we couldn't pour the 3 ounces in there. We had to put a little 3 milliliters at a time, a little bit at a time. Yesterday, that little goat was standing up on its own. We are sheep. And this world has weakened us. We need help sometimes. Not only need help from the Word of God, that first and foremost, we need help from one another. We got to get past the point where we quit kicking and killing our wounded. In big productions of cattle, they very seldom call veterinarians out, unless it's one of their prized bulls. They just, if it survives, it survives. We are not in the production of Christians. We're in planting and watering and discipling and allowing God to bring the increase. We got to get to the point where we quit killing each other and we love each other and provoke each other to love. We got to have some new goals. Listen, are you willing to forget the past? Whether good, bad, or indifferent, that this year, 2018, what we do for the Lord will be our absolute best that we've done in years gone by. I mean, the absolute best. Listen, here's some truths about neglecting, some truths about neglecting the truth. Sanctify them through thy word is truth. Here's some truths about neglecting the truth. No new birth, all your friends are going to be lost. All your co-workers, they're not born again. All your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, if there's just new birth, if you don't present new birth in Christ Jesus, dear friend, they will die. It's for eternity in hell. It's a difficult truth, but it is an absolute truth. Without Christ, our closest friends will die and spend eternity in hell. No new walk, Christian, listen to me, no new walk. No testimony at all. You'll live a life like Lot. Whenever the troubles of life does overwhelm you and you go knock on your closest ones, the kids, daughter, God says He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what they did? Laughed into scorn. No new wall, no testimony. And I'm telling you, this world knows what we should be like as Christians. They do. They know. Let me tell you something. No new goals, you'll be like that little goat just laying there dying. Just laying there. Just dying. Why do we have to have goals? Because I press toward the mark. That's a goal. I press toward the mark. Okay. If you act on these truths, dear friend, you born again, you have a new walk, you set some goals for God, dear friend, let me tell you something. You enjoy salvation in Christ, separation from the difficulties of this world that you cannot handle, and you have set forth a testimony of dedication to others that they may follow. And it brings joy into your life, living in the center of God's will. But I don't know about you, dear friend. I'm tired of hearing the beats. You remember the little thing where I get out there and hear the beat? I want to hear the voice of God. I don't want to hear the beep. I want to be so close I hear the voice, the heartbeat of God. New birth, new walk, new go. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Brother Jim's on his way. You said, Pastor, we haven't wavered on how people get to heaven. I know. It's a good reminder that we need to present Christ. And this morning, dear friend, if you're lost and you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life. If you've not been walking upright, straightforward with God and His righteousness, why don't you come and get that thing right? Whatever your goals were for last year that you did or did not accomplish, why don't you come? Set some more goals and be busy for God.